thanks be to God. Sometimes we have that look that Donald Rose has, like, maybe thanks be to God. Because last week you had the vine workers and the deaths and the blood and having to deal with what was that parable all about. And Tim helped you understand that. And this morning, Jesus is still there with the chief priests and the Pharisees, and he's still talking in parables, but he's talking to them as well as he's talking to us, as he's talking about what does the kingdom of heaven look like. And for them, they have their particular view that Jesus is going to reform. And so they have their view through the law that this is what the kingdom of heaven will look like. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you this story about the king. And remember, in this parable, the king is God. The son, who is having a wedding banquet, is Christ. And who is the bride? The church. So that's the scene that the king is inviting all who believe to come to the wedding banquet for Christ and his church. And those who know the law, those who follow the law, have the right to say yes or no. Because remember, grace is given to all, but it's still ours to receive, to accept. And so the slaves go out anticipating that everyone's going to come. Wouldn't you come? If God called you to a banquet, wouldn't you come? And think again that this is about a king. Now, we don't have kings in our country, so we don't quite understand that kind of ruling by king. You're all subject to the king, are you not? So if the king calls you into a wedding banquet, wouldn't you think you should be obedient and come? And they chose not to. They chose not to come. In fact, they were rather violent about their choice not to come. And isn't that what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did when they received the invitation to come through Christ into a new kingdom, into this reformed kingdom of heaven that God was making through his son, Jesus Christ? The invitation was given to them, and what did they do? They crucified the son. But God's grace continues to be given to all, because he then sends the slaves out and says, invite everybody. And I love this passage because it says good and bad. Oh, choir, you're not the bad. You just were on that side of my hand. The good and the bad. It doesn't matter. But then there's this one. There's this one who isn't dressed right. Now, I don't know how many of you have received that kind of criticism at some point when you came into church ever, that you weren't dressed right, or heard those criticisms that you weren't dressed right. That's not the kind of dressing that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about that inner dress, that inner sense of who you are as a follower of Jesus. Have you truly, has that one guest had not put on Christ? And the king could see it. God could see it. And God said, no. But remember, the one who judges isn't you or I. It's God. God's the one who sees our hearts. We might be able to expose our hearts to the world, how we live, but God is the one who truly sees our hearts. God's the one who decides whether or not we are the ones worthy of the banquet, worthy of the wedding feast. I want to tell you a story that I learned today. Well, I learned this week. A story about a man named Solon. Solon, a couple years ago, was living in a tent at J.C. Cooper Park because he was homeless. He might have been someone we would have said wasn't invited to the wedding feast. Well, on Friday night, Solon came in to pick up his T-shirt for the race, because Solon is no longer homeless, and he has on his couch a man who is homeless. So Solon has moved from that place of emptiness and hopelessness to that place of hope and is offering hope to another. And he just felt so excited about the fact that that place where he lived as a homeless man was a place where he could run in support of a homeless shelter. He came in third. He's a man who wears the garments of Christ, who would be accepted at the banquet, at the wedding feast of Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we look at people, maybe who we think have no hope, or maybe we think are hopeless to be, that we don't see what God sees. We don't see the Christ in them that God wants us. Because remember, this is the wedding of Christ in his church. So the slaves going out inviting people in, who are they? We are the slaves going out to invite the people in to the wedding feast. We are the ones who find the Solons in the community. Whether they are good or bad, we're not to judge that. We are simply to be the ones to offer God's unlimited grace and peace. And it's theirs to accept or reject, and it's God's to judge their life, not ours. I got real excited this morning because Donald Rose watched a movie. But I'm going to tell you about a movie about a feast. Babette's Feast is a movie that you have to watch it in its original language because you have to read the subtitles, because the subtitles are absolutely wonderful, especially when they're singing this old Lutheran hymn. But they're about the Scandinavian community that is following their Lutheran pastor who has passed away, and his daughters are taking care of the community as best they can, making them some dried fish soup that really looks horrendous at the beginning of the movie. And this woman shows up on shore, a homeless woman, a refugee from the war in France. And they take her in, and she begins changing the soup. And people begin to get excited about receiving the soup. Well, she wins the lottery. She has this old lottery ticket. She wins the lottery, and they think they're going to lose her, because she's been changing everybody's lives. And she asks, can she go back to France and buy something for them so she could make them a feast to say thank you. And they say, okay, go. And then there's that little gossip of, we've lost her, she's never going to come back. And then you see the people getting the sister's soup again, and you get to see their sour faces over this sludge that they get. Well, Babette comes back with live turtles and champagne and all sorts of alcohol and everything and oysters, you name it. And she, china and silver and crystal. And the banquet is absolutely gorgeous. And it's a very French cuisine. So there's like 7 to 10 servings throughout this whole meal. Well, one of the people sitting at the table is one who recognizes what's going on. Because he says, I was in France, in Paris, and there was this restaurant that had this woman who was this amazing chef. And she made this specialty with doves. And he said, what I'm eating right now, he was eating a dove, tastes just like her recipe. She was the chef. And later, after everything had been cleared and the community that had been bickering with one another were singing to God in wonder at this magnificent feast, she sat down with them and she said, do you know how much this feast, because they were expecting her to be saying, I'm leaving now, I'm taking my money and leaving. And she said, I can't remember the money, so I won $10,000. Do you know how much this feast cost? It cost $10,000. I gave all I had to you to say thank you for the gift of your grace and welcoming. And that banquet feast was a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. And when Christ was speaking to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and to the disciples there in his midst, he was speaking of a reformed kingdom of heaven that looks like Babette's feast looked, that looks like the feasts we have over in our fellowship hall when we are gathered and enjoying one another's company. It looks like the most amazing meal you'll ever have. But Christ reminds us in this parable that not everyone will be at the table, that not everyone will come to the feast of the Lord, because not everyone is dressed and clothed in Christ. So what is our role as the slaves? Is to extend that invitation, to go out and proclaim to the world that their salvation is dependent on living a life with God as their Father, Jesus as their Savior, and us as their brothers and sisters, and that we are to live it so much so that it doesn't matter what we're wearing on the outside, because we're going to glow from the inside out as followers of Jesus Christ. So I certainly don't want to be where they are weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to sit at a table prepared just for me by my Lord and Savior. And personally, I want every single one of you there with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.